And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Experience. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and I want to welcome you to our new series here on The Experience, which is the Black Voices series, where we bring on many people that are Black to share their stories and help educate us during this time of the Black Lives Matter movement, which all really kickstarted to a new level with the death of George Floyd at the hand of the Minneapolis State Police, the Minneapolis Police. And, you know, as I've said before, you know, it's a disturbing video. It reminds me, you know, when I see George Floyd in that video, it makes me think of my friends like CJ, Kareem, Sheik, Claude, Mansa, and also my good friend who is joining me now, who's a cosplayer. I see him all the time at AwesomeCon and other conventions that we frequent, Mr. Jonathan Young. Jonathan, welcome to The Experience.
Mike, man, thank you for having me, and it is a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, and before we start, I just want to say thank you for not just doing this, but also in a way kind of coaching me a little bit, because especially going into the Sorority Tinker podcast that I did this past Sunday, you've been really helpful on how I should try to approach doing these podcast episodes, because it's a very tough topic to talk about, and that's all I can really say on that one. So definitely thank you for, you know, really being there, and I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, my pleasure. And I was, as you said, coaching, you could call it that, man, but I'm just happy to help out where I can, man.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the big things, obviously, we want to do is, you know, share stories and help educate to make not just the country, but the world a better place for everybody. And it's like we've all been saying when we hear people go, well, all lives matter. Yes, you're right, all lives matter, but they all don't matter until Black Lives Matter, because they're the ones that are facing this injustice that is especially going on in this country. So I guess we can start with what type of stories do you have that you can share with us to, you know, give us kind of a glimpse of things that you have dealt with in your life?
Well, honestly, I can share, like, I've had the police called on me about 3 to 4 times for either being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or just having that nosy neighbor just like, oh, something's going on down the street, I better call the cops, instead of just saying, oh, those are kids playing. No. And it has been, I look back on those moments and think like, okay, hey, something could have gone wrong, and I could have been a hashtag or ended up on the news. Thankfully, nothing went wrong, and we were able to explain the situations. Like, I can go, one time I was about 11 or 12 years old at a friend's house, and he was like, oh, hey, just come to the backyard. We're going to hang out, play some cards, play some basketball before, you know, before the sun goes down. Hey, might order some takeout. And I would say about 40 minutes afterwards, we see police sirens, and we're thinking like, oh, okay, did somebody do something down the street or something like that? And next thing, the police are coming to us, and they're like, hey, we got reports about a break-in. And I'm like, what? Nah, we didn't break in. This is our friend's house. He lives here. So yeah, don't know where you got that from. And then we had to calmly explain that the lady in charge of the neighborhood watch is paranoid. So she saw a couple Black kids going in her backyard. They must be up to something.
Wow. And you said you're like 11 or 12 years old when that happened.
Yes.
So, like, you're still like a kid.
Yeah.
And, like, being a kid, like, I can't even fathom a question on this, because it's just, being a child and having to experience that, like, what's going through your mind?
Honestly, it's me thinking like, oh, hey, you know, I was always raised up, cops were taught to protect us. Like, you know, they're here for your safety. And to just have police officers questioning me about, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? And I'm just like, I'm just a kid that wanted to hang out with my friends. And I'm looking at, like, I committed a crime and I didn't do anything. And what made it worse was, I think, like, the week after, I'm sitting there at home and there's a police cruiser outside my house. And I'm thinking, okay, that he shouldn't be here. He probably has more important things to do, but he's scoping out my house because I see him looking with the binoculars. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just stay in the house. I'm not going to go outside because I'm not sure what he's going to do or if he's going to question me about anything. So yeah, as a 12-year-old kid, I'm sitting there practically hiding in the house from a police officer.
That's scary.
Yeah. And then, like, as the years have gone by, there have been other incidents where I remember one time I was getting off work when I worked at Dunkin' Donuts, and I was like 17 or 18 at the time, and there was a guy knocked out, like bleeding and everything, right outside my job. So I called the police, and they're like, are you going to stay with him? Are you gonna, like, look, I'm sorry, I can't stay with him. I don't know if the people that did this to him are still going to be around, and I don't know if the police are going to come and be like, did you knock him out or something like that. I was just a guy trying to get home off of work.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm like listening and I'm taking in what you're saying. And it's like, you know, and I want to go because obviously we're both big wrestling fans and we talk the wrestling all the time with each other. And obviously the New Day, we're huge fans of the New Day. You cosplay as the New Day with Aaron Godlin and Steve and David all the time.
They are my brothers, man. I love them to death.
And they had their podcast come out. Mm-hmm. This past week, and we've seen other stuff that Xavier Woods and Big E have come out and said about how, like, they were raised and taught to not be aggressive, to be, I guess, passive, and to always, like, stick with school. And, you know, did you ever have any of those type of talks from your dad or mom growing up, just like kind of like what Biggie and Xavier put out there, where it's like, you know, people are always going to hate you for just how you look?
Honestly, yes. I can say there were times when my mom sat me down and stated, hey, you are a black young man. People will get the wrong idea about you just from the way you look. And you have to do everything you can in a non-aggressive way to show, hey, I'm not some thug on the street. I'm not some guy that's trying to do it or cause trouble. I am just, in some cases, a customer, because I have gotten being followed around a store and when I'm just trying to browse. I've gotten the suspicious looks like, what is he up to, when I could be in the store just trying to get like a bag of chips or something. But yeah, and the sad thing about it is, I think that talk has been ingrained, and as African Americans, it's been ingrained in a lot of us. Like, okay, like, yeah, kids get the sex talk and they get the, oh, first job talk and all that. We got that. And then we got the, oh, hey, be careful because of the color of your skin.
You know, and we were talking about this before we started recording, you know, like, my family is Jewish, you know, and, you know, it's funny, I never had the sex talk. My parents were like, oh, you're a loser anyway, so you're not gonna, we're not worried about this.
And you know, you get the ladies. I see your con.
We'll talk about that off air. This ain't that podcast. But it's funny though, because, well, not funny, but I've never had to have that conversation of, oh, people are always going to persecute against you because you're Jewish. Like, I've never had that talk because, I mean, we know the history of the Jews and what they have gone through, the slavery in Egypt. World War II was based around it with the Holocaust and stuff. So we know what Jews have been through. But I've never had to be talked to by going, people are going to, you know, discriminate against you because you're Jewish, because I'm very white looking. You know, when we started talking, we were talking about some other stuff. I asked you, you know, when you see me, you just see a white guy.
Yeah, man.
You don't know I'm Jewish until I say it. Or if you actually pay attention to my last name, which is actually Jewish last name. And if you see me in person, look at my big Jewish nose and my curly Jewish hair, then you know.
Man, I just think you got them good genes, man.
But hearing you say it, hearing Big E, hearing Xavier, even Kofi Kingston, hearing them all say that they've had to have this talk when they're kids, and that they have to have this talk with their kids. It definitely screams something's wrong. And why has it taken in this country 400 years to finally have to get this to the forefront?
And the honest to goodness truth is, man, I'm not sure why it has taken that long. Like, honestly, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, hey, kids would be great, but I also know I would have to have that same conversation with them. And I would love to say, oh, back then, this is what happened, but I can't. It's still going on. And I mean, maybe this is just me, but I can like think back to TV shows like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, A Different World, and they had to have episodes explaining like, okay, hey, so-and-so got pulled over by the police. The parents have to have a discussion about this, because it is sadly the cold hard truth. There are not all bad cops, or every cop has an agenda. It's not that, but sad to say, there are a lot of times when it takes that one bad apple and just, oh, next you know, you have a new headline in the news, or you have a new hashtag on social media. And sorry, but it's...
No, let it out, man. let it out.
It's like, okay, you want to say, oh, that TV show is a work of fiction. Oh, it has nothing to do right now, but it's still going on. And honestly, man, since like Emmett Till, you had times where it's like, oh, the moment where it becomes my word against someone of a different race, sadly mostly white, but, and the officer picks, oh, that white person's right. I mean, the lady that lied on Emmett Till took how long to say, oh yeah, I lied, I made a mistake, into her golden years. And I'm like, nothing could really be done. Like, what are you going to do? Arrest a 70 or 80 year old woman? Are you going to put her in jail? Like, no. And then you have Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and so many other cases. It's like, oh, once it happens, it becomes a hashtag, or it makes front page news. And it has happened constantly. And it's frustrating to an extent, to having to keep opening the news and that's the first thing you see. The most, I want to say, frustrating case of all, Trayvon Martin, who, kid just walking home, you know, and then you have George Zimmerman wants to be some kind of vigilante or defend his community or whatever he wants to be, wants to take the law in his own hands, kills him. And so we're thinking, okay, finally justice is going to be served. Doesn't happen. He gets the metaphorical slap on the wrist, and next you know, this guy becomes an overnight celebrity. He's getting asked to come to gun shows and everything else. And to me, he has still not really faced justice.
Yeah. And I like that you brought up TV shows like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. One show that you didn't mention was Family Matters. And And I remember after the George Floyd murder, somebody put up a clip, a 7-minute clip on social media of a particular episode where, and I don't remember the characters' names off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I got you, man. When Eddie got stopped by the police.
Yeah. And he talks to his dad, who is part of the police force, and how that whole thing, how they had to handle the situation. And I remember sitting there watching it, and my heart is just sinking because it's like, you know, I've been pulled over before, you know, and I've been given a warning and I've been given a speeding ticket before. But I've always just been nervous because I'm going to get a ticket or something. And then when I watched that, and then of course my own personal experience when I was in the car with my friend Kareem, who's black, and he got pulled over, and the nerves that I felt in that situation because I was fearing for the safety of him. You know, it brings that dose of reality that needs to be put out there. That, you know, and one of the things that's always been said right now is that these conversations are very uncomfortable, but we need to have them. And thankfully we have media like that we can help educate us, you know. Which that's kind of the next thing I wanted to talk about was education. I recently saw a tweet earlier this week that said, like something to the lines of like, hey, white people, stop always relying on your black friends to educate you, look it up and read about it. What are your thoughts on something like that? Do you feel at times overwhelmed by like everyone coming to you asking you, you know, like educate us and stuff like that, or help us? And do you feel overwhelmed by that? Do you feel that that we should, you know, go educate ourselves on the internet and read up stuff, like especially about the what's coming up, the Black Wall Street massacre? Which is Juneteenth. Like, how do you feel about that in general?
To be honest, the way I feel about it is we as a community, like black, white, if I'm not going to say, oh, you should go educate yourself, in my personal opinion, I'm going to try and be like, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be like, okay, here is what happened on this day or what happened on that day, this year, that year. Cause I'm like, I know you could Google it, but I'm like, if I can to my best, I will help you. Like, I'll Google it with you, or I'll share a book that I have just detailing everything that from injustices and back in slavery times, the injustices people have felt here and now. Like, I don't mind, like, I would say reaching out a helping hand. I don't mind doing that at all.
Especially if somebody is wanting to learn.
Oh yeah, by all means. If you're wanting to learn, like willing to listen, I don't mind at all. In some cases, yes, some people are tired. Because honestly, I can understand being emotionally drained from the subject. Where it's like, okay, please just go on Google. Here's a list of books. Read up on it. Because a lot of black people, we are emotionally drained from the subject. And it is a mix of this constantly happening and a mix of the system actually failing us, and like the system needs to change. And I'm not just saying the court system, I'm saying a lot of officers, being a police officer is a stressful job. I know a lot of good officers on the force, and I can understand they are stressed out of their minds right now. But for those that can't handle the stress, or for those just need more education, take a psychology course or like have that be added to the police academy curriculum. Like, okay, we need to educate them on this, or we need to educate them on how to disarm a situation in a better way. And I mean, whether that be non-physical, or if you have to be physical to an extent, don't do what those officers did to George Floyd.
Yeah. I know, and you're saying like, there are good cops out there. And it takes that one bad apple to really kind of ruin things. And we saw it with Buffalo, mm-hmm. where you had those two cops shove down that 75-year-old man. And then they got, you know, suspended, they got charged. And in solidarity, the other 52 members of that unit, which was like an emergency response unit, all resigned from their post and were cheering the two guys as they came out of court from their arraignment. And so in a big part of that is because there's this, and I can speak from this because, and I'll probably get in trouble because I've always been told not to talk about this type of stuff, but I'm going to talk about this type of stuff. You know, before my cousin passed away due to brain cancer in 2015, he was a cop. And I remember being at the police funeral, and you can tell that there's a massive brotherhood to the police fraternity. And I'm actually going to rotate this into a comic-related thing, which you can relate to, because we read the comics and stuff like that. And so, like, I'm sitting there, and you're going, like, well, who could be the bad cop and who could be the good cop? Because you can't tell. Because there's a legitimate fear that if the good cop rats out the bad cops that do these horrible things, that repercussions are going to be put upon them because it goes against the brotherhood of the police force. And the best comic book tie-in that we could put into that is Batman Year One. And you know Batman Year One because it's about mm-hmm. the story of Jim Gordon's first year in Gotham, Bruce Wayne's first year as Batman. But one of the biggest things about that story is that the reason Jim Gordon is sent to Gotham is because it's punishment for ratting out a bad cop. And he's having to fight against a corrupt detective partner. He's trying to fight against a corrupt SWAT unit. He's trying mm-hmm. to fight against a corrupt commissioner and trying to clean things up. And he has his struggles doing it. And if anyone who wants to look into Batman Year One, they Warner Brothers did do an animated film for it. So if you don't want to read the comic book, you can at least watch the film. And I think that's part of the problem too, is that there are good cops that are afraid to speak out against, that are afraid to speak out against the bad cops because they're afraid that they're going to have repercussions put against them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And hey, man, I completely agree with Batman Year One being essential comic reading. Like, Jim Gordon had to go up against a corrupt system. First off, he like embodies a stressed cop, because at that time, recall, he had a young son, and depending on, I don't know if his wife was pregnant with Barbara at the time or not, but I'm like, so you have a new city, a young child, a child on the way, and you have a corrupt police system? How are you not stressed out of your mind drinking every night and possibly becoming like the worst cop in Gotham history? Instead, you become one of the best. Like, man, all the props to Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the important stories that needs to be put out there. It's like, we see the thing about defund the police and, you know, and demilitarize the police. I mean, we've seen what's been going on with the protests, and it's, And it's interesting that somebody brought up the fact that, you know, now that, you know, all the looters and the people, let's be honest, really white supremacists who are trying to do all this damage to the Black Lives Matter movement. Let's just call it what it is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, now that a lot of that violence and a lot of the looting and the fires have kind of gone away, and it's just straight up now peaceful community organized protests, we don't see it on the news anymore because of that fact. But the awareness is still there, and we need to keep pushing it, and we need to keep fighting for this reform to happen, because, you know, and I'm saying this as your friend, I don't want to see you as a hashtag, because I'd be pissed. I'd be upset, you know, because I love seeing you at the cons. Next time we see each other and we don't have to worry about the coronavirus, I'm giving you a damn hug, because I love you, buddy. You know, how many people are going to be hugging at a convention the first chance we get?
The first chance we get, there are going to be so many people hugging and everything like that, man. It is going to be, like, beautiful to see, because there's going to be so many. I haven't seen you since the plague, so. And it's going to be, like, an overwhelming sensation.
Yeah, it's, we got to see each other. We got to embrace each other and have fun. And then, But when you look at it from an educational standpoint right now, we have the protests still going on. We're still fighting for justice for George Floyd. We're still fighting for justice for Breonna Taylor and everyone else that has been murdered unrightly. What more can we do to help aid your community what more can we do outside of what we're already doing? Like, how can we continue to push this and help, you know, what's the best way to educate us to help push to create a more equal, you know, like we said at the beginning, all lives don't matter until Black lives do matter, you know, because of what is going on right now. How do we get to that point? What more do we need to do, and what more education do we need to do to help get us there?
Honestly, I don't think there's like one road we can take as a people. Like, I do say there are multiple roads we can take to get to that destination. And honestly, with the police officers, a deeper training could definitely work, because I'm thinking secretaries and barbers in some cases have more training than certain jurisdictions. And I'm like, that's insane. And that's one thing that could be done. The politicians could take a harder look at things and say, hey, some things do need to change. Now is not the time to be screaming law and order. Nothing against our current president. I won't get into that. I'll be respectful.
November is coming up, though.
This is true. November is coming. It is important to vote and get your voice heard.
Yeah. And not just on the national level, but also, I would also say, the local levels.
Honestly,
and this is something that I've always fought for, quietly fought for it. I've always believed that, you know, everyone complains about the two-party system. Well, how do you change the two-party system? You start at your local level. You get more independents and other types of people, like more people like you and I in there, to really change things up, and then you grow it to the state level, and then you grow it to the national level, because that's how you're going to really change things in the political culture and get away. And then once you get enough people in that national level, that kind of takes away the two-party system a bit, because you have more independence and stuff like that. You change the game a bit. So that's kind of been like my thinking for years. So
honestly, very true. And the game needs to be changed, and that's the start right there.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to live in a society where someone could say, oh, we're about something just happened. We need to call the cops, and we don't need everyone to start looking suspicious. Like, oh, that could go a different way than what it should go. So honestly, I look forward to when we have a society that is like that. I look forward to change. I look forward to that good change, because I got to give like a lot of love to all my friends also speaking out on this, like CeCe the Geek and Eric Harris and everyone just voicing their, letting their voice be heard. And also, man, Mike, I got to, from the bottom of my heart, man, I appreciate you letting me have this time. And don't worry, I'm going to bring it back to wrestling before we... because I do have some things wrestling related that I gotta get off my chest.
I thought you were gonna talk about the PlayStation 5 unveil today too, but you know,
ooh, man, did you see that thing? It looks
that kind of looks sexy. It's a sexy system, man.
It is a sexy system, but and then oh man, Horizon Zero.
Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn 2, baby.
I gotta get my Horizon Zero Dawn cosplay started, man. I've been thinking about that for a minute. I gotta get it in there.
Yeah, because you've been doing a lot of Kratos. You've done Blade. You've done Big E, obviously.
I got a laundry list of cosplays I got done, and oh, best believe, this year I have a bunch of stuff that was supposed to be getting debuted at Austin Con. Like, dude. A friend of mine, he and I, he's another one of my best friends, big wrestling fan too. We were working on King Kong and Godzilla, but wrestling looks for him. We were getting the gear ready. We were going to have like some breakaway cardboard buildings. We are still in the process of that, but it's getting there.
I want to see this at Awesome Mania. Like, I'm pretty sure Ben would be okay with you just coming in, just tearing down and having a wrestling match real quick in the panel.
That is something we can definitely discuss. We can definitely discuss that.
That would be hilarious. I would love to see that.
Oh, man. All right, man. You gave me, dude, that's going on the list of ideas.
Remember what we said during Awesome Con Online during the Awesome Mania panel? It's like we have the Awesome Mania 3-2-1 24/7 Hardcore Championship. Yes. You go into the cosplay contest, and you just have like me, because I'm the current champion right now for obvious reasons, because we got to make sure somebody has the belt, and it's like a toy WWE Hardcore title belt. That's what it is, And you just imagine, like, me, you, and maybe a few other people just start off at the cosplay contest. And this match, and you just kick off the cosplay contest with this match. And, like, I guess I get pinned by you, and then you just run away. And then, like, we're all chasing after you. And then somehow we end up on the roof, you know, and stuff like that. That would be hilarious.
I still love that idea. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, yo, at a convention, that would be great. We got to do that. That would be freaking amazing.
I think that was the greatest conversation that ever happened during Awesome Con Online, to be brutally honest.
we're going to make that happen. Oh, man. Especially because I got to give a shout out to a friend of mine, Dave, who is a blacksmith. And he and I have been talking about making title belts for like 5 months now. So we are still in the process of brainstorming. So we might be able to work something out.
I don't have to walk around with this toy little foam belt.
No. We can brainstorm some stuff. We might be able to make something happen.
We got to get Ben Taylor in the conversation then.
This is true.
He 100% has to be in that conversation.
Oh, of course. And, dude, I'm about to bring this thing back full circle to the main topic, because One of the things, well, actually, no, two of the things that really stuck out to me was AEW Dynamite and NXT In Your House. Marcus Kwan, him and his boy, for all private party with the Black Lives Matter armbands. And Keith Lee and Mia Yim showing love. Keith having Black Lives Matter on his gear. And Mia Yim, she showed respect to some of the misjudged and victims of injustice on one of her shirts as she was going after the Poison Pixie.
Yep.
And I gotta say, I appreciated that love right there. And then I went on Twitter and I'm seeing people like, oh, well, I don't want to be a fan of that person anymore because, you know, all lives matter, not just Black lives. You weren't a fan to begin with.
Yeah, there's a, you know, you and I, we could talk AEW, WWE all the time, all day, all night. You've probably have heard Ben and I's comments about AEW, you probably disagree with us on our thoughts on AEW. I think what they did was great. I think what Io Shirai and Kairi Sane and Hikaru Shida and many others did for Hannah, who committed suicide due to cyberbullying, I think what they did for that was amazing. I think what Private Party did was amazing for honoring Shad Gaspard when he drowned. Although the Stadium Stampede match really screwed the pooch with the pool thing. Which Chris Jericho has openly admitted that, yeah, what they did was in poor taste looking back at it.
Yeah.
And I came up with a great solution of what they should have done on the most recent episode of Austin Mania. I'll tell you after we're done recording, because it's not meant for this. I think been the great thing about having pro wrestling still around right now. Still getting fresh content from that during this pandemic, because that's the other thing, we're still in a pandemic right now.
Yes.
And you know, the fact that Keith Lee, who is a Black man, coming out with Black Lives Matter gear, yeah, it makes sense. And I fully support him doing it 100%. And I thought at Takeover there was one other who did something Black Lives Matter related.
Rhea Ripley with her gear, she had the one black boot, the one white boot, and she had the contacts that were, one was black, one was white.
Right.
That was kind of her tribute.
Yeah, and I know Dakota Kai did a Hannah tribute with the pink hair. Yeah. So there were actually quite a few tributes at Takeover In Your House, and there's been quite a few tributes obviously on Dynamite and Double or Nothing. So, and that's the thing. It's like, these guys are on this massive platform on pay-per-view, on the WWE Network, on USA, on TNT, and they're using that to help provide support for that. And, you know, and you look at WWE, we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, where you have Big E, Xavier, and Kofi with their podcast, the New Day podcast, which is through WWE, you know, having the ability to put that out there and share their stories as well to really bring more awareness. And we also know that Xavier has been using his Up, Up, Down, Down platform to also help bring awareness as well. So it's that's one of the great things about wrestling, is that it's always able to find a way to bring awareness to these things, whether people like it or not, like with NASCAR.
Okay, see, now if we get on the subject of NASCAR, I respect what they're working towards now. And, you know, we don't want to see the Confederate flag. I respect that. But the only thing I will say to the people getting upset about, oh, that flag's a part of my history. I'm sorry. As far as a true Southerner, the biggest thing that is a part of your history is one of your relatives' home cooking. Either that or the barbecue they serve. If you go to any southern state, you will see a million and one signs, billboards, promoting the barbecue, the biscuits, anything with seasoning. That's a part of your history. I'll take that. Then, I'm sorry.
A participation trophy?
Yeah. I will take all of that good food, compared to, we need our flag, we need our statues. Didn't they all lose?
Yeah, right. And it's funny because it's, I forget the name of the racer, Bubba Wallace, I believe his name is. He's the one black racer in NASCAR. Yeah. He's going to be driving the Black Lives Matter vehicle car this Sunday, I believe it is. I don't follow NASCAR personally, but I know he's going to be driving a Black Lives Matter vehicle car. And right from Ellicott City, that one racer who said he's going to retire at the end of the year, it's like, it's okay. They'll just have to find somebody else to come in 28th all the time.
I mean, like, your record is, what, 31 losses, zero wins? Thank you for showing up, but okay, yeah, bye.
So, but, and, you know, it, how, actually, this is a great way, this is the great question to actually ask, now that we've actually have hit this topic. How, when it comes to something like this, NASCAR has banned the Confederate flag from all events, which, you know, people are going to find ways to wear Confederate flag t-shirts and stuff like that, which you deal with that when you get to that point. But when you see this, the toxicity on social media, and let's be honest, social media is a very toxic place. You got to find the positivities with it. How do you educate those specific people? How do you educate the ones who are, well, I need my Confederate flag. I don't want my Confederate statues to be taken down. I don't, you know, all lives matter, blue lives matter. How do we educate those people? Because obviously, for somebody like me and others, like, we're more open. We want to have this conversation with you, even as uncomfortable it can be, even as emotional as it can be. For those who are more shut in and they're in the bubble, how do we educate those people?
Honestly, one of the biggest arguments from some of those people I keep hearing is, well, statistically, and if you pull up the data, that, you know, police officers are more violent towards white men and women than they are other races. Then I argue back, why are you not trying to help us get rid of police brutality as a whole then? Because, you know, if you're tired of getting beat up, we're really tired of getting beat up. Like, let's work together on that.
Yeah.
And, but then you have the people online, and you're always going to find someone online going to get upset. Oh, don't say Black Lives Matter. All lives matter because this, because that. This is true. All lives do matter, but we're trying to fix an issue we're having right now. And sometimes those people can be, you can talk to them rationally. Other times you are dealing with a troll that's just gonna, oh, well, I'm doing this to get you riled up. I'm like, okay, don't get riled up. Sad to say, push come to shove, some people do end up having to get blocked. And, like, I would say getting blocked is better, well, not better. It's not as funny as the Seth Rogen treatment of just cursing you out. But, like, you know, sometimes it's more calming to an extent. Like, okay, I'm not even going to deal with you. You're blocked.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing with social media. You got those bots. You got those trolls who are just, you know, just out there to try to rile things up when, you know, we're trying to fight something serious. We're trying to eradicate a legitimate issue that everyone faces, but the black community faces with a prejudice against. And we need to fix it. And we need to get rid of it. And, you know, it'd just be cool if everyone just got on the same freaking team.
It would be. It would, because to me, well, seeing all the peaceful protests that we have had and seeing all the people of different races coming together saying, hey, Black Lives Matter, hey, we need to focus on this. We need to find better solutions. Seeing that unity slowly grow and grow like that, to me, is beautiful, because I'm thinking, like, hey, one day we could have everybody thinking that. Like, do you know how many issues we could solve? If we all, like, okay, let's be on the same team here. Let's think this through. Let's come up with some better ideas. How many things we could get through? I'm like, America could, you know, finally be great.
Yeah. So there's two things I want to throw up. The first one, have you ever seen the show The Newsroom that was on HBO?
Yes.
So you remember that opening monologue where Jeff Daniels' character is asked if America is the greatest country, which he says, no, it's not. And he just lists everything that is wrong with this country. Mm-hmm. That was legitimate truth. We aren't the greatest country in the world because of all those reasons. The second thing I want to bring up was the movie A Time to Kill with Matthew McConaughey, Samuel Jackson, Sandra Bullock. And if you remember, have you ever seen that movie?
It's been a while.
Okay. So just to refresh your memory, and I actually talked about this when I was with Soraya Tanker as well, is that the premise of the film is essentially Samuel Jackson's daughter gets raped by and beaten almost to death by two hillbilly white boys in Mississippi. And Samuel Jackson's character seeks revenge. He actually kills the two guys who raped and almost murdered his daughter. And now go into court. As a result of this case, the KKK come back. You have a lot of tension, stuff like that. And McConaughey's character is the one that is the lawyer that is defending Samuel Jackson's character. I'm kind of fast-forwarding a lot through this film because it's this one scene that matters the most, and that is the closing argument, which is when Matthew McConaughey tells the story of Samuel Jackson's daughter's rape, humiliation, attempted lynching, and tossing off a 30-foot cliff, left for dead, never to be able to have children ever. And the daughter's like 12 years old, I should note. And as he's telling this story to an all-white jury, he then and the entire time their eyes are closed, and he goes, "Do you see her? Now imagine that she's white." I recommend watching the movie because it's a great story. It's great education because about racial injustice that was done in the past and still is. And you have that new movie that Warner Brothers just made free for this month for digital streaming with Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx about the racial injustices. I actually have it on my watch list. I still need to watch it. And it's great educational because it's like the whole point of that story is that, yeah, I'm telling you the story about this black girl who was raped and attempted to be murdered and stuff like that. But the idea isn't the fact that she's black. It's the fact that to an all-white jury, this could have been your daughter. This could have been your wife. This could have been your mother. This could have been your sister that this happened to. And the way it's presented is extremely powerful, and you get the goosebumps and you actually tear up because of it. Because of, you know, how would you feel if that was your daughter? You would do the exact same thing that Samuel Jackson's character did.
This is true. Damn everything else. I would be right out there like, okay, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Like, and to be honest, that is one of the things, heck, even the people that are trolling on social media, even the people that are to an extent stubborn on social media need to realize, if that was your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father that is going through the type of injustices that as a Black community we're facing and having constantly, honestly, by shoved in our faces by media. You'd be up in arms, you'd be frustrated, and I saw a nice little post that thankfully Black people are just looking for justice and not looking for revenge. It's like, okay, no one's trying to say, oh, we need to come after that person, eye for an eye, none of that. It's, we need a fair justice system where it's like, okay, that person committed a horrible act. They are going to be judged to the full extent of the law and not a slap on the wrist and I'm out in like 2 years.
Yeah. One of the greatest comparisons is, you know, that we've seen is like Brock Turner.
Mm-hmm.
The young white kid who raped an unconscious woman got 6 months because the judge was like, oh, I don't want to tarnish this guy's like swimming career, whatever the heck he was doing. And, you know, the whole boys will be boys thing. And then you see George Floyd over a possible counterfeit $20 bill. Rape gets 6 months and a slap on the wrist, counterfeit $20 bill gets you murdered. And mm-hmm. It's not right.
And
any sane person with common sense would even look at that and go, that's not right.
It's not right at all.
So,
and another thing that honestly has to be looked at is racism is now being filmed. Someone can pull out their camera and record somebody, and like, your act is going to be captured. You'll either be recorded by someone or you'll have those body cams you're supposed to be wearing. I don't care if you've had the worst day ever in the history of your job. I work in a hospital. I have seen people like doctors and nurses go through shit. And
especially right now.
Yeah, especially right now with COVID. And they'll still greet somebody for smile. They're trying to do their job to the best of their ability. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I get it. Like, I need people in the police force to kind of practice that same, you know, that same level of strength, really. Like, I know there are going to be people that are like, oh, well, no. This is not to sound mean, but seeing on social media all the people posting racist things like, oh, Black people this or Black people that, and that, you know, that person loses their job or their scholarship. I don't understand how come those people don't think twice, like, okay, maybe I shouldn't post this online, or maybe I should, you know, try to be a better human being.
Yeah, I
become unemployed.
Yeah, because actually I was on Facebook this morning and I saw a cosplayer post up photos of her cosplays, a Black cosplayer, and just posting the comments that she gets on them. And, you know, and you probably hear this as a Black cosplayer yourself, like if you try to do specific characters, oh, well, the character's not Black, so you can't do the character and stuff like that. You know, it's like, no, it's cosplay. It's, you know, if you really love that character, you can cosplay that character. If you're white, don't go do blackface and don't be a jackass about it. You know, as well, I'm glad I brought that up because that was something I wanted to ask you about. Oh, boy.
Before we dive in, I can definitely admit to moments where I have done cosplays and someone says, oh, you're Black, you shouldn't do that character. oh, you're black. Why don't you cosplay The Rock? Why are you cosplaying Mankind? Do you know how bad I wanted to stick Mr. Sacco down that person's throat? Or Quan Chi, the demon from Mortal Kombat, is white. You, sir, are white-facing. Are white people demons? Is that what you're trying to get? Like, I don't get what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. The comments that I've gotten from people have been just, jeez. It's
yeah. Like, ridiculous. The one that I see was like, well, like, the N-word, you blackify it. Obviously, a lot of the N-word stuff, which, no, I'm not going to say it because, no. I have common sense. But it's just disgusting to see people who have worked, like, I've seen your Kratos. I know how hard you worked on that. I know how hard you worked on your Big E and your other cosplays. Like, you put in so much time and effort, and then to get those type of comments, it's so insincere to be like, you know, like, I remember Ben Taylor sharing a story with me one time, and he was like, you know, I remember being at a con and a little kid had a Batman mask on. That's it, just a Batman mask. And the kid's like, I'm Batman. And then somebody just went, no, you're not. You're just wearing a mask. And it's like, no, screw you. That kid's Batman. He's wearing a mask. He's Batman. Let the kid be a kid and think he's Batman. And that's kind of the same thing with cosplay. It's like, you're cosplaying as this character. Yeah, sure, the character's white. Whatever. It doesn't mean you cannot do the character It doesn't mean you can't do the character and not be able to still give it justice, because you are able to give it justice.
Yes.
You know, so, but go ahead, man.
Like, one of the like biggest things I keep seeing is, you know, black people, us cosplaying anime characters like Sailor Moon, any of the Sailor Scouts, or anybody from Dragon Ball Z. Oh, you can't do that. You're black. That person's white. First off, if they were any race, they'd be Asian. So you're wrong there. Two, when did you start to have input in my life? Did you pay a bill? Did you help me pick out this outfit? And then one of the things that irks me the most is that some of the people that sit there and type those negative things would not have the courage to put on any of those costumes, to go to a convention in front of thousands of people, and either be on stage or just be in that crowd ready to have somebody take their picture. And that is, from a standpoint, courageous as hell. Because I know I've seen a lot of people that work hard as hell for their costumes, and sometimes they get nervous as hell, but they just, as soon as they get that first camera snap, they are proud as hell. Their confidence boost is there.
Yeah, and not only that, but just having somebody come up to you and say, hey, can I take your picture? I think your cosplay is awesome. That's a confidence booster as well.
Yes.
Like, I'm not a cosplayer myself, but like, I have many friends. You're obviously one of my many friends who are cosplayers. And I know, you know, I've seen you guys do progress pics. I know how much. And I know that when somebody comes up to you and goes, hey, can I take a picture of your outfit? I know that's like a badge of honor for you guys, because you know that you did something that made somebody go, hey, that's awesome. And that's one of the parts of doing cosplay, to do something that people will find awesome. So, but then there's those that decide to do blackface. And now, first off, over this past weekend up in Toronto, Canada, you had a jackass. He is a jackass, 100%. Showed up in blackface. He did the blackface fully on his face and on his hands. And he just went there and he had this dumb smile on his face. Just like, hi, I'm here. And he ended up getting arrested as a result. He got escorted out of there and then arrested for it. And it's like, that's not what you do. And then there was an article, I think it came out this morning, about how white people are doing blackface to show solidarity with the black community. No.
I have seen some of those pictures from those, I think one of the articles called them the YouTube influencers, and I'm like, No.
And here's the thing. It's like, do you know how you show solidarity with the black community? Do what I'm doing. Bring people like Jonathan onto your podcast and amplify their voice. Go to the protest and peacefully protest for change. That is the best way that we can be in solidarity with the black community. And I'm saying this as a white guy who is actually Jewish, but you know, people look at me and think I'm white. And that's the thing. You should never do blackface. Ever. It's a bad idea, you know, to do that. It's just, no.
Man, there are so many other ways. If you want to show solidarity, go to the protest, as you stated. There are a number of black-owned businesses that if you want to buy a shirt, or if you just want to say, oh, hey, I'm going to support this person by buying some art or something like that, or sharing links to various sites that can say, oh, this person does that, this group does that to support Black Lives Matter, support the community. Donate, or just share the link, spread the word. If you are a gamer, I have seen people like Xavier Woods, I've seen Mia Yim, Tiffany Witcher, and tons of other Twitchers just being like, hey, I'm just raising money for this. I'll play this game that like scares the living daylights out of me, but I'm doing it to raise money.
Yep, and also, I'm glad that you brought up links. Obviously, in this article with this podcast, there are a bunch of links that Jonathan helped me get to share and promote. So go and click on those links. Help any way you can, whether it be for the Twitch streams and donations, or you know, signing petitions, stuff like that, to help, you know, help fight the injustice. So
amen.
Yep. So with that, Jonathan, I think we're near the end. I think we've cried a bit during this podcast, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jonathan, where can the people find you on the social media if you want to share it? And are there any special links or anything that you want to share for people to go to?
So if anyone wanted to find me, you can go to CrypticCyborg009 on Facebook or Instagram. I'm still upping my Twitter game, so be on the lookout for that one a little bit later. But that's where you can find me. I want to give some shout-outs to Eyes of H and Rachel the Photographer, two black photographers I've worked with over the years. I got tons of pictures from both of them. You'll definitely be seeing those. And they're just capturing history in the moment with these protests. And Data Set Mike, the same thing you're doing is getting the story out there, and I appreciate that. As far as you want to show some support to some artists, you have Chris Scott, epic artist. Like, by all means, check him out on Instagram. Also, you can check out, Teehee Hearts, who is a dear friend of mine. She does some amazing fashion. Then you can also check out Polka Dot Cutie if you want pins. Cute pins, tough-looking pins, everything in between. By all means, check them out. And the list goes on. Cosplayers, you got CC the Geek, who I mentioned. You have Hellspawn Cosplay. All of these artists who are just trying to spread some positivity. And, Mike, you know me. You know I did the New Day. I do the New Day thing. And you better believe, once the cons are back on, I am bringing my Biggie stuff. There will be pancakes. There will be maybe a little twerking, but there will be some love and, you know, just spreading that power positivity, man.
Love it, man. Love it. Normally at this point, I would be sharing my social media stuff. I am not going to. Instead, I'm going to say, click the links that are in the article accompanying this podcast. Keep fighting the injustice that is going on, and let's make this a better place. So with that, Jonathan, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you also so much for, you know, helping me out leading up to this point as well. I do greatly appreciate it. I'm super proud to call you my friend, and I love you, buddy.
Hey, man, Michael, man, I love you too, man. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. And man, I cannot wait until, not even just cons, I cannot wait until wrestling shows are back on, because we got a party, man. We got to get together, share a few drinks, and just, oh man, just
share some laughs, man. Just share some laughs. I can't do it as well as Ben does, but in the words of the 16th president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And party on, non-gender honorifics. I can't do that part. I'm sorry. So party on, dudes. And until next time, we'll see you on the flip side.